All right, are you ready for the word? Hallelujah. I'm ready for the word also. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this time that you've given us now to hear from your Spirit, to hear the word of God directly, Lord. Pray that you would guide me, let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Also pray, Father, that our hearts would be fertile soil for the word, that you would plant the seed of the word in our hearts and that it would bring forth fruit in our lives. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. A little boy was asked by his father to say grace at the table. While the rest of the family waited, the little guy eyed every dish of food his mother had prepared. After the examination, he bowed his head and honestly prayed, "Lord, I don't like the looks of it, but I thank you for it, and I'll eat it anyway. Amen." See, attitude is everything. Attitude is everything. Matthew Henry, the commentator, some of you may have his commentaries. I know I have them. Bible commentator Matthew Henry, after being robbed, he wrote this in his diary. "Let me be thankful first because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my wallet, they did not take my life. Third, because although they took my all, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed." See, attitude is everything. And I want to continue in our series, Elevate, and we're talking about elevate your attitude by giving thanks. Elevate your attitude by giving thanks. And that comes from Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. And I'm going to read that here in Colossians. It says this in chapter 3. "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, seating at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above." See, there it is. "Not on things on earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Elevate your attitude by giving thanks. You know, an evergreen is always green despite the changes in the weather around it. It is green in the heat of the summer as well as in the cold of winter. So also our lives are to be characterized by an enduring thankfulness that is unaffected by change around us. When the heat of a pressured week or the deadly cold of pain strikes us, we should stand evergreen, always thankful, regardless of that which surrounds us. Attitude is everything. And we know that that word elevate, as we are in this series, it means to lift up, to raise up, to make higher, to improve. And so what we do is we discover that being thankful blesses God. It does. As we are thankful, it blesses God. We discovered that in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10. It says, "When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the land which he has given you." Remember that? And so we left off last time talking about five reasons to thank God. And I'm just going to review the first three reasons, because today we pick up on reason number four as to why to thank God. So reason number one, we thank God for his goodness and mercy. Remember that? That's what we do. We thank him for his goodness and we thank him for his mercy. Remember, his goodness is good and his mercy is price paid. Price paid, and we thank God for that. And then we discovered that we thank God for his deliverance. Remember that? Now, I'm not going to go back into each of the scriptures. In fact, you can go to our website or you can go to our YouTube page and find the sermons where we discuss those. But we pray for deliverance, or we thank God for deliverance. And then third, where we were last week, we thank God for his benefits. And I'm going to read Psalm number 103, because that moves us right into the fourth reason that we thank God. So Psalm number 103, we thank God for his benefits. It says this in Psalm 103, verse 1. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Remember that? Bless the Lord, verse 2 says, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals your diseases, who redeems you from your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like eagles. And we discussed that last time, how God, we thank God for his benefits. And so today, another reason to thank God, number four, and this is where we pick up today, for his spiritual community. We thank God for his spiritual community, your church family. That's what it is. We thank God for the spiritual community that he's placed you and me in, and that is the church family. So I want you to look with me in your Bible at Philemon. We're going to look at a few passages of scripture. Philemon, it says this in Philemon 4 and 5, because there's only one chapter of Philemon. Philemon 4 and 5, it says this, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers. Everybody see that there? And look at verse 5. Hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. Everybody see that there? All the saints. So let's be clear with who saints are. Saints are those that are believers. If you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you believe that he died for you, he was buried, he rose again, and he ascended into heaven, and he sits on the right hand of the Father on high, and you know that you've been saved by Christ, by faith in Christ, you are a saint. Believe it or not. Oh yeah, you are a saint. See, you don't have to wait until you die and then you have done some miracles, or you know, you've done some charitable deeds. See, those are works. Those are works. And we're saved by grace through faith, not of works. So I just want to clarify for you all who may have a different religious affiliation before coming to Impact. I just want to let you know that you don't have to wait to die and have like some leaders of an institution saintize you, or saintize you, or sainthood you. I don't know what they call it, but make you a saint, right? See, you are a saint when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And so that means the other saints make up the body of Christ. We are all saints. We are all members of the body of Christ. And I like what Paul is saying to Philemon. He says, you know, I'm praying. I thank God every time I mention you in prayer, hearing of your love and of your faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus, but also the love and the faith that you have toward all the saints. Look at that there. So saints are believers, those who are bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. And did you know that God has given us the church as the means by which believers are to grow, by which believers are to engage with one another, by which believers are to sharpen one another and support one another? It is the church. And I'm so thankful that we still have this medium of Zoom and Facebook to stay connected, to help you continue to connect with one another, because God has given us the church as the institution for discipleship. He sure has. You say, Pastor Will, the church is the instrument or the institution for discipleship? Absolutely. I want you to turn with me in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to look at this because I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the spiritual community, for the spiritual community that God has placed me in, and for the spiritual community that exists for believers today. And we see this in Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to start at verse 11. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to let you get your Bible. I'm going to give you time to get there in your Bible, because you want to highlight this as you explore who your fellow brothers and sisters are in this community and why we are in this community. Why does the church exist? Why is there leaders in the church? Well, guess what? We get a chance to see that today, right now. Ephesians chapter 4, and I want you to look at verse 11. We're going to start there, and we're going to read it down. It says this, and he himself, this is Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Notice that. So there's leadership there, and there's the reason the leaders within the church exist. Look at what it says. For the equipping of the saints. See, there's that word again. For the equipping of the saints. And remember, saints are all believers, right? So God has determined that there would be leadership within his body. Leadership within his body. And we know Christ is the head of the church, and all of the pastors, if you will, all the other leaders are under shepherds. And in this regard, he has provided leadership for the equipping of the saints. See, some of you are in this service today. You're being equipped today by the word of God. You're being equipped. Some of you have been equipped for service. I mentioned IPAC Kids and then the media team here, and then, you know, other things that are going on within our church. You've been equipped for service primarily by the leadership of your local church. Amen. By those that are encouraging you. And, you know, I'm encouraging you all to get busy for the Lord, but not be busy for busyness' sake. Be busy based on what God has put in your heart to do, and step out on faith and get it done. Hallelujah. That's how we serve God. We listen to his voice, and then we say, okay, God, if you're telling me to begin a prayer ministry, or you're telling me to join with the prayer ministry, or you're telling me to join with the men, or with the Sisters of Strength, or the women's ministry, whatever it is that you're telling me to do, Lord, I'm going to listen to you, and I'm going to get involved. See, that's a step of faith, but that happens primarily because you've been placed in the body of Christ, and he gave leaders for the equipping of the saints. And look at what it says here, for the work of ministry. Everybody see that there? You are being equipped to work in ministry. Now, two things I'd like to say about that. Number one is we're all being equipped. We're all being equipped. That's what discipleship is. Jesus equipped his disciples. Remember that? He made disciples, and he told them to go door to door, two by two. Remember that? And he sent them out. And he sent them out to proclaim the good news. And so here, Jesus equipped his disciples, and discipleship is us being equipped. It's you and I being equipped by the Spirit of God as we learn more about our God, but primarily it's this equipping through the church. This is why you hear me say oftentimes, if you don't belong to a church, you should belong to a church, because there's benefits of belonging to a church. And one is that you can be equipped. You can be equipped by the leadership there to prepare yourself for ministry in life, for ministry in the church, for ministry to others. And that's the second thing that I like to share about this particular verse. It says, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. So many of us associate ministry with only activity that happens within the four walls of the church. And traditionally, it's been known, well, my ministry is the usher board. Some of you know that, the usher board. My ministry is the choir, right? My ministry is the deacon board. Well, that's true, but guess what? Ministry transcends the building. Oh, hallelujah. Let me say that again. Ministry transcends the building. It's not about, you know, the usher board, the deacon board, the mother board, and thank God for our mothers. I think we even have a mother board now. It's not official, but we got some mothers here at our church, amen? And I'm so thankful for that. But guess what? Ministry transcends the church walls. In other words, your home is ministry. There's ministry in your home. There's ministry on your job. There's ministry in your school. There's ministry in your social settings, in your social circles. There's ministry in your friendships. See, God is equipping us for the works of ministry wherever we are. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, you can get a Lord of hand praise for that. See, wherever we are, that's where ministry should take place. Well, how you know that, Pastor Will? Because the Bible tells us that he's given you and me, all of the saints, he's given us the ministry of reconciliation, hasn't he? To wit, that as God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, so he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. Did you know you might have ministry in the supermarket? You might go to the supermarket and if you've prayed and you say, Lord, I'm going to the supermarket and I pray that you use me to give a word of encouragement to someone, or maybe even to pay for somebody's groceries, whatever. Lord, I'm just ready for you to move in me at the supermarket. Hallelujah. Everybody see that there? God has given us the leadership of the church for equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. So don't limit ministry to the four walls. If you did, we wouldn't have ministry happening right now, would we? Because many people can't go to the four walls, right? So I'm so thankful that we are being prepared. We are being equipped by the Spirit of God and the leadership of our church, which is myself, Pastor Will. Amen. And God is equipping us for ministry. And I want to encourage you, begin to look at other opportunities. Some of you like to visit the go-to care facilities, right? And visit. And I'm so thankful that we're still in contact with Mother Nash through some of you who are visiting and others that may be visited. See, that's ministry outside of the walls. Some people like prison ministry. Some people like to go to juvenile hall and to group homes and that kind of thing. Some people go to the homeless, hint, hint. Some people go to the homeless, and that's a ministry in itself. And so keep in mind that he's equipping us, that he's given us church leadership. And let me say that, church leadership for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. And look at what else it says here, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. That is good. And what that means is so that you and I, that word edify, it means to build up. That's what it means. And so we are edifying the body of Christ. We're building up the body of Christ. And we know that during this particular day and age, the body of Christ is suffering to some degree from all of the things that are going on in society. And we have believers on either side of these things that are going on. And it looks like believers are fighting believers. Oh, hallelujah. I got to say it. It looks like Christians are fighting Christians based along political lines. And God never intended on believers to fight other believers along political lines. In fact, political lines, we should not draw political lines. We draw a spiritual line. Amen. We are citizens of a heavenly kingdom. And you've heard me say that over and over and over. And I'm going to keep saying it as long as it's happening here, that we are citizens of a heavenly kingdom. Yes, we do live here on earth, but I'm not motivated by political lines. I'm motivated by the Spirit of God who dwells in me. And if the Spirit of God who dwells in, who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he shall give life to your mortal body. See, no president, no senator, no mayor, no governor can give life to my mortal body. Only Jesus Christ can give life to my mortal body through his Spirit. Therefore, I yield to his Spirit. Praise God. Does that mean I don't vote? No, I voted, but I trust God with my vote. I remember I had my ballot in my hand, and I was one of those mail-in guys. We've always mailed it. I had my ballot in my hand. I say, Lord, in Jesus' name, I want your will to be done. With this ballot, I'm trusting you, Lord. So whatever the outcome is, I'm trusting you. I'm not trusting man. I am trusting you. See, we have church leadership for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the building up of the body of Christ. And as you and I grow, and that responsibility to grow is shared. God creates the environment for you to grow, but you do the work. Hallelujah. Let me say that again. God creates the environment. He gives, in fact, we're looking at it right here. He's given you a pastor, in this case, a pastor that teaches the word and other believers that are teaching word and living the word. And as such, God has created the environment for you and placed you right in it in your local church. But the work you do is to get in your word. The work you do is to get on your knees. The work you do is to worship God. The work you do is to serve God. The work you do is to grow in your relationship to God, because He's given you the environment to do so. It's sort of like, you know, having a plant. And the potter gets the plant, or the gardener, that's it. The gardener gets the pot, and then he gets the soil, and he puts the soil in, and then he gets the fertilizer all in the soil, and he plants the seed, and he begins to water the seed. Well, the seed receives that nourishment, and that seed begins to grow because it has the sunlight and it has the oxygen that it needs. It begins to grow as a result of what the gardener has done. Well, did you know that your church should be like a potted, soil that's been placed in the pot, and the seed of the word that's in there, and you want to grow in your church. Hallelujah. So there's a work that you do. There's a work that God does, but there's a work you do also. Some people say, oh, Lord, I just thank you. Just help me to grow. Okay, if you're going to pray that prayer, that means you're going to get busy in some kind of way, right? You want to begin to crack open the scripture in a very intentional way. You want to begin to pray regularly in a very intentional way. You want to begin to listen for that still small voice of the Holy Spirit in a very regular way. See, you're positioning yourself to feed not only on the Word of God, but to hear from God yourself. Oh, I remember I transitioned from hearing from God through the man only, which was great, through my pastor back in the day. I'm brand new. Transitioned from hearing from the voice of God through the man of God, then I began to hear the voice of God for myself, and I stayed connected to the man of God, because the man of God helped me to grow. He helped me to get involved in the Word. And in fact, I'm so thankful that the first pastor I had, he loved the Word so much, and I liked it. I loved it also, and I thought all believers loved the Word the same way he did. He loved the Word so much that he helped me to develop that same kind of love for the Word. And so I want to encourage you. The scripture says that he's given the church leadership for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. And then look at what he says in verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Everybody see that there? So there's a goal. The goal is that we would come to the unity of faith. And when he says the faith, that's the faith that was laid by Jesus Christ, the faith that was given. He died, he was buried, he rose again. He's seated on the right hand of the Father, and faith alone in him provides salvation. And we are disciples growing, and we've been commissioned to make disciples of men, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And he says that he's with us even to the end of the age. And here, as we live as citizens or saints, if you will, citizens of that heavenly kingdom, we are living according to the faith, till we all come to the unity of the faith. Oh, don't we need unity this day? I'm so thankful that many churches here in the Bay Area, and I'm saying many churches because they're different churches, but they're different buildings, and they're different ethnicities that meet in these buildings, and we call them churches. But see, there's really one church. It's the universal body of Christ. It's the one church, but it's in many different areas. So we use that term, many churches, just so that you're clear with what I mean by that. And so right now we're participating and what's called a One Blood Bible study, a small group study, which comes from the book that's written by Dr. John Perkins, One Blood. And we're enjoying that. And there's about pretty close to 120 folks, at least 13 different churches, about 16 different pastors, and about 120 people that are focusing on the area of ethnicity and equality in the body. Ethnicity and equality in the body. And we're learning so much every Thursday. We're learning so much about each other. We're learning about what they consider racism, but the Bible calls it separatism. It calls it favoritism. And so we're learning so much about this. And it's good to be with different people to learn their perspective so that there could be unity. See, there it is. So that there could be unity. So till we all come to the unity of the faith. Let me ask you this question. What are you doing that brings about unity? What are you doing? What are you doing in your home that brings about unity? What are you doing in your family that's designed to bring unity? Husbands, wives, what are you doing for one another that bring about unity? For you single folks that's out there, and I thank God for those of you who are single, because that can be challenging in itself, because you're focusing on, hey, where do I fit? What is my worth? And for some of you widows and widowers out there, yeah, I thank God for you as well. What do you do to bring about unity? How are you connecting? I mentioned our mothers last time, and mothers are, they're good for unity. They're good for keeping the family together. You know, the family that prays together does what? Stays together, right? And mothers are good for keeping everybody in contact. Even that knothead, you know what I mean? Even that one that nobody likes to talk to, mama gonna like him anyway, right? He can look like a toothless pit bull. Mama's still gonna like him, right? Still gonna love him and bring him on in. Hallelujah. And some of us say, oh, I don't want to go around. But mama's gonna keep us all together, see? The unity. What are you doing to bring unity to your situation? Let me ask this. What are you doing to bring unity in your social settings? What are you doing to bring about unity in your social media? What are you doing? See, if you are a saint, we are growing so that we can come to the unity of the faith. The unity of the faith. See, there should be unity. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation, but he's also given us the heart to bring things together, to unify. Now, it doesn't mean homogenize. It doesn't mean that because Jackie and I are married, that Jackie has to become me and I have to become her. She has to talk like me and I have to talk like her. No, what that means is we agree to be who we are, but we agree to be who we are together. I'm still who I am, she still who she is, but we agree to learn about one another and respect one another and honor one another and cherish one another. See, that's unity. And oh, I tell you today, we need so much unity within the body. Amen? Amen. We need unity in the body. So let's keep going here till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Everybody see that there? See, we are to grow in our knowledge of the Son of God. The Bible tells us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. See, and as we grow in the knowledge of God, we become more like Christ. Peter says it this way, that he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to virtue, right? So what that means is we become partakers of his divine nature. You and I, when we grow in Christ and we grow into that knowledge of Christ, when we grow into the knowledge of the Son of God, you and I become more like Christ. He tells us to let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, right? Who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of man, and he became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. So he's telling you and I to have that kind of mind where we would selflessly give ourselves for others as Christ selflessly gave himself for you and for me. See, there it is. So God is desiring that you and I, that we come into that knowledge of the Son of God. And as we do, it's a growing knowledge. As we do, we begin to grow more and more in grace and more in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And guess what? We begin to be more and more like Him. We begin to have more and more of His mindset about things. We begin to say more and more of what He would say about things. Why? Because we're growing in the knowledge of the Son of God. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand praise. See, that's good. We're growing in the knowledge of the Son of God till we come to the unity of the faith in the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Look at what he's saying here. Now, don't let that word perfect derail you. The English word is perfect, but the Greek word is mature. See, mature, that we become mature, that you and I would grow. You know, there's some babes in Christ that come to Christ, and they're babes, and rightly so, and as sincere as babes, they desire the sincere milk of the word. But guess what? Once you've been in Christ for a while, once you've been in the body for a while, once you've been attending service and under discipleship, you should be growing. There should be no old babes in Christ. Hallelujah. But I know there are some old babes in Christ, and I want to encourage you, get into your word. Begin to serve. Begin to take that opportunity to allow God to grow you so that you would become a perfect man or perfect woman. And what that means, mature, a mature man, a mature woman. God desires that we would grow in maturity to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And what that means is Christ is our example. He's our example. He's our pattern. And that you and I would grow, that we should no longer be children. Everybody see that there? Look at that, verse 14. So we should no longer be children. There it is. We are to grow and no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Oh, praise God. You know, I consider this political climate that we have been in, and there's been a lot of false statements being made. There's been a lot of lies, for lack of better terms. There's been a lot of untruths. There have been a lot of undocumented things being said. And you know what? A lot of believers have been in following those things. And I just want to encourage you, don't be tossed to and fro. Don't be tossed to and fro. If you believe something, I like to say this. I say it to my children. I say it to my godchildren also. If you're going to do something, do your due diligence and research it. Amen. Do your due diligence, research it, and find. Say, hey, you know what? I'm doing this because I chose to do this because I believe this is the right thing to do, and here's why. Not because so-and-so said it. You know, they say a whole lot, and I've said it over and over, and you know what they say? They always have something to say. Don't go by what they say. Go by what he says, and the he is God, right? And if you decide that you're going to do something, do it because you've done your due diligence. You've done the research. You say, well, Pastor Will, I've been thinking about this, and I've been praying about this, and I've researched this, and I believe that this is the way God wants me to go. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, that's what you want to do. But you don't want to do something because they say. Oh, remember, Nehemiah was commissioned to go back and build the walls of the city, right? The walls of Jerusalem. And there was some they-sayers out there, Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem. They said, you won't be able to do this. They said, even if a fox come and jump on the wall, it's gonna crumble. They said a whole lot, but Nehemiah did not go by what they said. He went by what God said. And I pray that you would eliminate the they-sayers from your sphere of influence, and that you would focus on what God says. Hallelujah. Oh yeah, give the Lord a hand praise. See, somebody is being blessed right now. Somebody is being encouraged because, you know, people, those they-sayers, they love to stay in your ear. They love to be the expert. They love to offer their opinion. They love to share what you need to do. You know, isn't it interesting that many married folk, it's interesting that many of their sayers are single. How can a single person, unless they have vast experience or they're led by the Spirit of God and filled with the Spirit of God, begin to share something with a married person, how they need to be or how they need to operate or what they need to do? Now, it doesn't mean that single people don't have that kind of experience. And I'm saying oftentimes they do if they've been people of God. See, people of God can give you a word from God, be it single or not. But I'm talking generally speaking. There's some single folks trying to tell married folks how to live their life, and the person is single. Oh, come on, help me with this. See, God desires that you and I would grow, and that we would grow, and that we not only would grow, but we would grow and work with one another in this growth. I'm going to conclude this. Look at what it says here. That it says, that we would no longer be tossed to and fro, carried about every wind of doctrine, going by what they say, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the what? Truth in love. Everybody see that there? See, it's not fake news. It's not a fallacy. It's not lies. He says, speaking the truth in love may do what? Grow up into all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joint and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, let me help digest some of that, because there's some big words in there. And so what he's saying is that we speak the truth in love as disciples. In this environment that God has given us, which is the church, we speak the truth in love. We're growing. We're learning more about Christ. We're becoming more like Christ. And as such, we are fitly joined together. Hallelujah. We begin to work together. We begin to grow together. We begin to experience life together. See, there's some benefits of being a member of the body of Christ. Here, we experience life together. We're knit together. And what happens is we begin to support one another in ways that we can never do it alone. I'm so thankful. I was talking with one of our Impact Church members that works in the iKids ministry. And we were talking, and she said, I was just thanking her for what I had seen. And she said, well, you know what? We have a wonderful team. We have a great team because we respect one another. We all have things to bring to the table, and we collaborate. See, that's what that does, that every joint fit together, we begin to collaborate. We begin to hear, I hear a little bit of what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. You hear a little bit of what the Spirit of the Lord is saying based on how you're made up and based on how I'm made up. And then we bring that together and we say, yeah, the Spirit of the Lord is saying this, and let's do this and let's do that. How many of you want to operate like that? Oh, yes, I see those hands out there. This is how God designed the church to be, that we would all hear from him, but we would hear from him in ways that we are shaped. So I can do my part. You can do your part. He can do his part. She can do her part. And we all begin to cause the body to grow. Hallelujah. See, that's what it is. He says that every joint supplies, according to the effectual working by every part does its share. Everybody see that there? I can't do your part. You can't do my part. And the good news is we shouldn't want to do each other's parts. We should only want to do our part. Praise God. See, what's for me is for me. And what's for you is for you. So you can't have what's for me. I can't have what's for you. But guess what? You can have what's for you, and you can do what's for you. Oh, praise God. Oh, see, that just helps somebody right there. It's time out for looking at the other grass, right? Because they say the grass is greener on the other side. You know what? Stop looking at the neighbor's yard. Just do you. Hallelujah. Just do what God says that he has you to do. And guess what? There's only one you. And you're the best you you could ever be when you trust God to be you. Amen? So that just levels the playing field, if you will. God has given each and every one of us gifts. And he wants you to be used because you are going to help the body grow. Oh, hallelujah. You are going to help the body grow based on how God has shaped you. Oh, I pray that I'm encouraging you today based on God. You might say, well, Pastor Will, I just don't do a whole lot. God knows what you can do, and God knows how he wants to use you. Just let him use you, whatever it is. If you don't know, give me a call. Write me, Pastor Will at impactchurchbayarea.org. I'll connect with, maybe we can have a conversation to find out, you know, what you desire. Sometimes it's a desire in your heart. Sometimes you come up with an idea. You know, I have this idea. You know, God may be giving you that idea, and he's not giving you that idea for somebody else to do. He's giving you that idea for you to begin to explore. Oh, praise God. So be the best you you can be. I better close this up. I just feel like preaching today. Let me close this up. He says here that every joint and knit together by every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share and causes the growth of the body for the edifying itself. See, the body begins to build itself up, and it does so in love. It does so in love. It does so in love for a variety of reasons. For number one, because we're imperfect people that are in this body. If you're perfect, let me see your hand. I don't see any hands out there. I saw somebody put it up and then put it down real quick. But none of us are perfect. And as such, guess what? There are going to be some bumping into each other from time to time. It's going to be some conflict from time to time. Be real with that. I just want to help you know that we all have different personalities. We have different ways of seeing things. And there's going to be some clashes from time to time. But God has given us the buffer. He's given us the buffer for when clashes occur. He's given a buffer is that safe space. The buffer is that thing that I can bump into that's soft and it's not hard. The buffer is this: love covers a multitude of sin. Did you know that? That's what the Bible says. If my brother sins against me, love covers a multitude of sin. Love is not quick to say, hey, you know what you said? What you said hurt my heart. Now, you might have to have a conversation like that, but you don't lead with that. When it happens, you pray, Lord, is this legitimate what I'm feeling? Lord, and is it my flesh? Is it myself? Or is this something that you really want me to bring to my brother or my sister? And if it be something that he really wants you to bring it the way the Bible tells us to. But we shouldn't be so quick when somebody says something that kind of rubs us the wrong way or does something that we don't think they should have done that way. We shouldn't be so quick to nail them to the cross, to pin them down. Love covers a multitude of sin. Jesus said, people will know you're my disciples for the what? Love they have for one another, for the love that you have for one another. Can love be shown during the time that there's a disagreement? Can love be shown when you may have been hurt? And you say, okay, God, I'm going to trust you with this. I'm going to trust you're going to guide my heart. And you're going to keep me in the game. See, what happens is people get hurt and they want to bench themselves. They want to put themselves on the bench. I don't want that to happen. And they didn't know, they misrepresented or they misunderstood what I meant. And I've been misrepresented. So I'm going to just sit on the sideline. I'm going to let them do it. No. That's not what God wants you to do. What he wants you to do is trust him with your heart and stay in the game. Oh, let me say that again. Trust him with your heart and stay in the game. Well, how can I stay in the game, Pastor Will? Well, you can stay in the game by praying about that issue. And whatever it is, it's going to pray about it. And then if there still seems to be no resolve, then maybe you can go to that person, as the Bible says, just you and that person alone. And if that can seem to work, fine. If it doesn't, maybe you can involve a leadership. You can bring a one other person One other person. Don't tell them what's going on beforehand. Don't tell them your side of the story and get the person to side with you so that you can both go and correct this other person. No, what you're doing is you're saying, you know what? I want you to think about assisting us in this situation that we have, and I want you to hear from both of us. See, you don't just want them to hear from you. I want you to hear from both of us, and then I want to know what God is saying to you about that. See, that's when you bring two. And then if the person still doesn't hear you, then you bring like leadership. Hey, you know, I think I want to get Pastor Will to look at this, and I'm not going to tell them the whole story. I just want to say, hey, you know, we want to meet and we want to discuss some things, and we want to hear from you, Pastor Will. What are your thoughts about this? See, that way you do it in an untainted way. You do it in a way that's not biased. You do it in a way so that you can hear from God. Maybe you're the one who is having an issue or a challenge with this. Either way, God's will can be done that way rather than it being tainted. So let me close this here. So he says this, every part does its share and causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself. So elevate, ladies and gentlemen, elevate your attitude. And I want to say this, I so thank God for Impact Church. I do. I know this is on Facebook and it may sound self-serving, but you know, I heard a friend taught me a saying. He said, it's a poor dog that won't wag his own tail. I learned that years and years ago. And so here, I'm so thankful for Impact Church. I'm so thankful for how God is using you and how he's moving us. But I'm also thankful for the universal body of Christ, because I have several pastor friends and other people that are friends that belong to other local assemblies. And I so thank God for the Christian community. We really do. Why? There's value in the Christian community. When you want somebody to pray for you, get that person that's part of your church to pray for you. See, they'll pray for you. Mother Yancey and I, we pray every Wednesday. Oh, yeah. And see, and we ask that you would submit your prayer request. Joe says submit your prayer request to prayer@impactchurchbayarea.org. There's opportunities for you that exist when you belong to a local assembly. You got people praying for you. You got people living life with you. You got people that are helping you grow, and you are helping others grow as well. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we have had an opportunity to see another reason to thank you. We thank you for you placing us in the body of Christ, for our church family. And we learned so much more about the church family today, why it's the environment that you have placed us in that we would grow. Lord, let us grow in you. Let us grow in you. Let the words that have been shared today nourish the hearts of the hearers, and that you would be glorified in their response to your word, that they would say yes to your will, yes to your way, yes to your plan, and yes to your purpose for their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand, praise.